This is Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch with Tom Ackerman. A year ago today, Hamas-led militants launched a surprise attack on an Israeli music festival and other communities, killing hundreds and kidnapping at least 250 others. The brutal attack left Israel declaring war with Hamas, vowing to inflict an unprecedented price, the death toll in Gaza now in the tens of thousands. Joining us with perspective a year later, Krister Knapp, teaching professor and coordinator of crisis and conflict and historical perspective at Washington University's Department of History. Professor, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Megan. Thanks for having me on.
Based on what you know about this region and the parties involved, would you have anticipated that we would still be in conflict a year later?
No, and I don't think that anyone really would anticipate that. But this is where we are as the conflict has escalated in Gaza and Lebanon and now potentially in Iran. And so we have a complex situation here. And the goal is to avoid a still wider Middle Eastern war. And so we have to sort of wait and see how things go at this point.
Talk about the roots of this conflict. You know, how many decades, centuries does this go back?
Well, of course, all religious wars have very long roots, and this one would be the primary example going back millennia. But, I mean, the more recent roots would be the formation of Israel in 1948 and the immediate Arab state and Arab-Palestinian challenge to that in the area that used to be called Palestine under the British Mandate when two states were created. In 1948, one for the Israelis and one for the Palestinians. And the Israelis largely accepted their then smaller state, but the Palestinians rejected theirs. And with 1 hour of the Israel state being formed, five Arab states backing Arab Palestinians in the region began to attack the new state of Israel. Israel, of course, returned in kind, and they also engaged in behavior that took land and forced 750,000 of Palestinians off their land, and then Palestinians have retaliated, and it has gone on ever since. And so there has been a 48 war between Arab states and Israel, 56, 67, 73. Those are the major wars. There were, of course, intifadas in the 90s and early 2000s. There was been much smaller wars with Gaza, with Hamas in Gaza, about five of them before this attack. And of course, there were Israel's wars in Lebanon in the 1980s when they were forced to create a security belt in southern Lebanon in occupation there from 1985 to about 2000. And then another war with Hezbollah in Lebanon in 2006 that ended in a draw. So the region has known conflict for a very long time, just over the last 75 years.
Looking at this particular case in the last year compared to those, how much more has this both destabilized the Middle East and also had ripple effects across the world?
Yeah, I think this one is different for several reasons. As I said, those earlier key wars in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s were largely Israel against a number of Arab states that were backing the Palestinians or had their own particular cause in the larger conflict. But they were relatively limited and they were relatively contained and they were relatively short. So you had nation states fighting one another. In this case, you have irregular non-state actors, Hamas and Hezbollah, which provide some social services and political support for their constituents, the Palestinians or southern Lebanese, but are also terrorist organizations that engage in terrorist attacks and in using guerrilla tactics to advance their insurgency. Both are also backed by Iran, and so they become proxy forces for Iran to get at Israel. So Israel's had to deal with these terrorists on their borders for some time, and this requires a very different kind of war than fighting conventional wars of tanks on tanks in the deserts of the region. And so the fact that Hamas is willing to station its fighters and its missile launchers in hospitals and schools and in dense populated areas of Gaza makes it very difficult for Israel to respond in kind without destroying lots of infrastructure. And despite calls for evacuation in which lots of Palestinians were forced out of their homes to avoid civilian casualties, nonetheless, there have been, as we all know, an excess of civilian casualties now pushing 42,000 by numbers from the health ministry that Hamas does run, but those are the numbers that everyone uses. And so You know, this is just a much more complex kind of event. And as long as these terrorists will continue with these tactics in the north and the south, it's going to be very difficult for Israel to live with the kind of security that they want. And it means that until Israel can reestablish deterrence and reestablish, if not absolute defeat of these groups, then degrading them to the point where they can no longer effectively attack Israel, then Israel is going to keep taking the fight to these groups. And who knows how long that is going to go on. But I certainly don't think we thought it would go on this long already.
Well, and at this point, it does appear that, you know, with those external forces, there's also divisions within Israel itself that are becoming much more apparent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Israel is very divided inside its government. I mean, you have the hard right, which is opposed to a ceasefire because they think that that's just going to allow Hamas to rebuild, and they may not entirely be wrong in that regard. You have the sort of large middle area of liberal Zionists. These are people who believe in the Jewish project for a Jewish state. They can be left of center, center, or right of center. They want a ceasefire and the hostages to come home and for the fighting to stop so that Israel can rebuild and the Palestinians can rebuild in Gaza. And then you have the far left, which wants all of that, but also wants the fall of the Netanyahu government. And so there is division here. That said, the majority of Israelis still support most of these attacks, particularly in Lebanon. They still feel they're living in a state of trauma. Not an hour goes by on television in Israel or in the media without references to October 7th, and that's understandable. This is the largest killing of Jews since the Holocaust. They are determined to be able to defend what they see as their homeland.
Professor Krister Knapp, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Megan.
He's a teaching professor and coordinator of crisis and conflict in historical perspective in WashU's Department of History.